Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for August 6th, 2007, episode 37. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
And my name is Ryan Necessary.
We are back again this week after a short break. Last week I was homesick with some sort of nasty, nasty bug, and Ryan was buying a house.
Yeah, I was moving, getting ready to move.
Yeah, so that was a big deal. And, you know, we kind of also somewhat honored SysAdmin Day, but we'll talk about that more later in the show.
Right.
So let's just get straight to the news. First story, Ryan, you got a story about DEF CON?
Okay, so it came out, I guess this was yesterday, and this was over at Ars Technica, the story about the DEF CON outing of a Dateline NBC reporter. So Michelle Madigan, I guess, is a reporter for Dateline, and she was going to go undercover there and try to do a couple of things. Namely, she was going to catch a hacker doing something illegal, and she also wanted to catch like an undercover FBI agent. She wanted to basically out these people to expose the whole cat and mouse game that goes on every year at DEF CON. But really what happened is she got totally pwned.
Nice.
So she had like a lot of chances to register as the press because the press is invited to come to DEF CON.
Right.
But she, on purpose, she purposefully misled the event organizers into claiming that she was a programmer.
Right.
So it didn't take them long to figure out who she was. And then apparently a few strings were pulled and some people kind of led her along and kind of fed her a trail of crumbs. It's like, hey, if you show up at this time, at this place, you know, there's going to be, you know, a hacker there that, you know, is doing something bad and you can catch him. So she shows up at this big auditorium thing. It's standing room only. She sits down like right in the middle of it. And then they have like this spot the hidden reporter contest. And so basically she was outed like right in the middle of the whole convention. And then she went running out of there. She fled the scene.
Fled the scene.
So I don't know. I mean, DEF CON is what it is. And, you know, of course the traditional news media hates the internet and everything to do with it. So they always want to make somebody look bad if they're using a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she was outed, and I presume they won't be trying that anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty good. How could you think, as a reporter, you could sneak into a group of hackers and programmers? I mean, you wouldn't know the lingo, you wouldn't know the terminology, you would know nothing. I mean, I feel like I would have a hard time fitting in there.
Right.
Even as a sysadmin. And
supposedly she was posing as a programmer.
Which is even worse.
It would only take like 1 second.
Come on, at least just pose as like a blogger or something.
Right,
light,
yeah, something,
you know?
Tame, so yeah, that you could kind of fake your way through it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway, moving on to the next story. We've kind of mentioned this in the past, but more details have come out about Leopard gaining Unix certification, specifically Unix 03 certification. And this is actually a pretty big deal. There's only a few companies that have gained this official Unix certification, HP and IBM being a few of them, and of course Sun. But what this means is that, you know, the base of Leopard has become very Unix compliant, and that you can, you know, compile code on, you know, a Mac and then move easily to like an IBM mainframe and compile that same code. And there's a lot of other things to it, but it's a pretty big deal. And you know, they're not getting a lot of press on this, but I see this being as a really good move forward, and I see them pushing this when, you know, the new Mac servers come out. I see them really like stamping Unix on there somewhere on big on the box, you know, showing off that they are actually, you know, it's not just a pretend, you know, Linux or Unix system. There really is Unix at the core. It's not just for show.
Because if you have the awesome Unix foundation,
right,
with the beautiful interface,
right,
of Apple,
yeah,
suddenly you got something pretty dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, companies could easily move, you know, their large security software packages and scanning packages and all those, you know, big name companies could easily move from Sun directly to Apple without a lot of work, from what I understand. So yeah.
I guess the Apple servers are going to do like multi-user pretty gracefully.
Yeah, they already do, actually. Okay. The Xserve, it's pretty good. I mean, they still have a lot of work to do on the services side of things, and I think they kind of just expect people to fill it in on their own. But I don't know. They haven't really announced much about what the Leopard version of OS X server is going to be like. So we might see some nice things there.
Something to watch.
Yeah.
Moving on. There is rumblings. This was also Mars Technica. There are rumblings floating around the net about a possible Service Pack 3 for Windows XP coming in the first half of 2008. So just when you think, oh, we're moving to Vista, Vista's the new thing, we're through with XP, well, maybe not. So I think it's kind of telling, you know, if they're going to do like a whole another Service Pack, because Service Pack 2 was 2004, 2002?
I couldn't even tell you.
It's been a while. Yeah. So anyway, it's been a while since the last Service Pack for XP, and things are pretty stable now, and for them to go ahead and invest the time and the trouble and the whole delivery mechanism for a whole new Service Pack, I think that's almost kind of a left-handed way for Microsoft to say, well, we realize Vista's not,
not quite
penetrating the way we thought it was.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it needs a Service Pack, because you install Service Pack 2 and then you go on the web and try to get more, you get more security updates. There's a ton.
Well, that's true. If you're just starting with the base 2 and then you try to do patching on top of that, you're going to be there for a long time.
So, you know, it definitely needs it from that front. I wonder if it's going to really add much. You know, like Service Pack 2 added a ton of functionality on the firewall and security side of things.
Right.
I wonder if they're going to do anything in Service Pack 3, or if it's going to be more of just a packaging of bug fixes, which historically really is what Service Packs have been.
I think it will. I wouldn't hold out waiting for any kind of visual enhancement.
Oh, definitely.
Because they want that to be the selling point for Vista. That, oh, look how cute it is, and it's nice, and it's Apple-y, and all this kind of stuff. So it's definitely not going to be very beautiful if they do. But anyway, businesses and home users who use XP can rejoice of a new Service Pack coming.
I'm sure this is in response to all the businesses requesting to keep using XP. Eventually, they are going to turn it off, and you know what'll happen. But hopefully, it'll be a while still.
I don't know. I kind of wonder if maybe there's off on the distant horizon. There's a chance that Vista might be the next Windows Millennium Edition.
And that would be such a failure, because Millennium was just like Service Pack 3 for 98.
Yeah.
And Vista is like a total rewrite, but it's possible. I don't know. We'll see. On the same front, you know, the next story we have from Slashdot is there was a poll given by, it was a Patchlink survey, and 87% of the businesses polled said they were going to stick with the existing version of Windows. And the reason they gave is that they just didn't see any compelling security enhancements in Vista versus XP.
Yeah.
Which is like what they bragged a lot about, Vista. And I would agree. I mean, I don't feel like my system with XP Service Pack 2 installed and a, you know, a decent firewall or router in front of it is really going to be any worse off than a Vista package.
Well, to me, Vista's almost, I mean, maybe this isn't true, but I guess in my head, it's almost more aimed at a home user who needs that allow or deny to keep them out of trouble. Yeah. You know, in a business environment, you need less of that.
Yeah.
And the other parts of it, now I realize Vista has some other back-end things that help, like system administrators and stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of in agreement with this. I don't like, I have no urge to move to Vista at work. It's really not doing anything for me that's going to save me time.
The only thing that I see being somewhat valuable is the whole user control, what do they call it, user access control scheme. Whereas right now, if you want your users to be able to install anything, you have to give them admin rights on your station.
Right.
But to me, the negatives of Vista, where it's just not compatible with software and hardware, and I mean, I know they're going to try to fix some of that with Service Pack 1, but it just seems like they really missed the boat in trying to combine you know, with XP, they combined 2000 and 98 kind of to make one unified front for business and home users.
Yeah.
And it's like they kind of lost their way and, like you're saying, focus more on home users almost to get the eye candy, and lost the business users by kind of overinflating the OS.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, by doing that, they instantly turned off all the serious business users because as soon as you're touting, like, look how nice it looks, you know, it's kind of like a supermodel. People don't expect them to be very intelligent.
Right.
You know, so it's like the better it looks, the crappier it must run underneath, you know, the frosting.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. So you got your laser printers. They use toner. There were some researchers that said, oh, this toner's bad for you. It's putting particles in the air that cause cancer and unhealthy, and they're all over every office in the world, and everybody's breathing this stuff, and we gotta stop it. Well, HP came back with their hired gun scientists and said, no, it's safe. You know, of course, what else are they going to say?
Right.
We breathed it for 2 or 3 hours. We're not sick. But, yeah, so anyway, they came back with their own, you know, their own statistics and said, no, it's safe. It's totally safe. Well, now there's some Australian researchers, which, you know what a technical center Australia can be. You know, you got your kangaroos, you got your whatever that instrument thing is, the didgeridoo, and then you got your laser printer right there. That's like the three things in Australia.
Well, and the laser printer expert right next to him.
Right. So anyway, these Australian experts said that, you know, the HP scientists are morons and our scientists have it right, and it really is uber dangerous, and that you shouldn't breathe it, and I don't know. It's so this just keeps going back and forth about whether it's dangerous
or
not.
It's funny. It's just like they resorted to childhood, recess tactics, schoolyard tactics. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Right.
My dad can beat up your dad.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have a link in the show notes to all the technical mumbo jumbo if you want to dig down into that. But
yeah, either way, it's you know what? If laser printers kill us, we're going to die very, very soon.
So we should all work from home.
We should work from home with our inkjets.
Because I'm sure all that ink is perfectly safe.
That's right. Oh, anyway, moving on to sysadmin day. Now, we were going to discuss this last week in length since the last Friday in July is System Administration Appreciation Day.
Right.
Unfortunately, we were both unavailable. So we're going to just briefly go over it this week. You know, we hope everybody out there who's a sysadmin and angry admin was able to feel as underappreciated as we did on that day.
Because Joe reminded me that it was sysadmin day, and I was like, oh, thanks. Same to you. You know, and then no one else knew about
right,
it.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think this was kind of a self-declared by some sysadmin somewhere, you know. But if you go to sysadminday.com, they have some good humor kind of going over what it's like to be a sysadmin. And one of my favorite things on there was advice to employees on proper use of the system administrator's valuable time.
Right.
And it's this long list of just some really good gems of, you know.
They're all like perfect right
on. Yeah, it's exactly what you experience every day. So I'm going to just pick a couple out of here real quick. The first one is pretty good. In the examples, they substitute the name Ted as system administrator. So Ted is, you know, the guy down the hall. Make sure to save all your MP3 files on your network drive. No sense in wasting valuable space on your local drive. Plus, Ted loves browsing through 100-plus gigabytes of music files while he backs up your servers. It's just like, you know, I mean, how many times have we seen that?
Yeah.
And you tell them, and they just don't care.
Right.
I don't know. Let's see, another one. When talking about your computer, use terms like thingy and big connector, because big descriptors like that really help us out a lot.
Right.
Or when you're getting a no dial tone message at your home computer, call Ted. He enjoys fixing telephone problems from remote locations, especially on weekends.
Right.
Yeah. So go check those out. There's several more. Those are just a few of my favorites. But there's a pretty big list, and they even allow you to send in some additional suggestions. And also make sure to go check out the Sysadmin Day song if you haven't ever heard it, from Wes Borg from the Dead Trolls. Ryan put me onto this, and I found it on the Sysadmin Day site, and it made the day just a little bit easier.
They have some pictures too, some gallery pictures.
Yeah, some good shots of
disasters.
Some bad wiring and some good ones too.
Yeah,
you know, some amazing, like, you know, hundreds of Cat5 cables getting routed just perfectly. It's
color-coded.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. So go check it out, and we'll have some links in the show notes to that.
Last weekend, we got a really good piece of user-submitted content via the interwebs from a listener, Stuart, in the United Kingdom. We're going to play that for you right now.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Joe. I enjoyed your show on virtualization. It's something that I'm quite fond of and have been for a while now. VMware Server, I feel, is a really good place to start. It's a free product from VMware, although you do have to register and get a license from them. Once you've installed that, the business, whoever you work for, will reap the benefits. They'll ask you for a new server, and you can get a new one up and running within a few minutes. It's a real good place to start. So when the business start getting used to this idea, then you can say, right, we need the good stuff now. We can get ESX server. This is the approach I've done, and I'm now just installing ESX, and it's a real, real good solution. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Stuart, for that great feedback. It was actually very helpful for me. He sent us an email before he actually recorded the comments, and it was so helpful for me that I actually wanted him to send in a little recording. So anybody who has feedback, feel free to send that in. I actually took his advice and checked out the free version of VMware, and in a just on a server I have on the side, I actually got Windows up and running very, very quickly and was impressed with how easy it was to move images back and forth and that type of thing. So I think this is something that we probably will end up incorporating. And Stuart, thanks again for the great advice, and keep the tips coming.
Side of the Week.
This week's Side of the Week is brought to you by MyFirstMac.com. Your one-stop shop for all of your first-time Mac user needs. I found this site a while back after I got my black MacBook. It's a really good site. It's well done. I'm not going to say that there's not a lot of info there, because there is quite a bit of info there, but you won't find every little minutia of troubleshooting, you know, crazy, obscure Mac problems. But it is a great site if you've just bought a Mac or you're considering buying a Mac and you want to know, well, what issues am I going to run into right up front? You know, what additional software would I want to download to kind of help me make the transition? How would I do things differently on my Mac versus what I'm used to on Windows? So it's a good site. It has some really good articles there, some editorialized stuff, links to utilities, and just a bunch of just well-formatted, short, sweet little articles on just how to get more out of your Mac, especially for a first-time user. We'll have a link in the show notes to that, but if you get some time and if you're thinking about having a Mac or you have a new Mac, feel free to check that out. That's MyFirstMac.com.
So for the toolbox this week, we have something a little bit different. A couple weeks ago, actually, I tragically put my phone through the washing machine. Yes, that's right. I realized it just about 10 minutes into the first rinse cycle. So, you know, it was full of water, and I pull my phone out and it's dripping water. So yeah, it was destroyed.
I wouldn't have found it until the dryer. I would have heard it.
Well, yeah. Either way, so I had to get a new phone, and so I, you know, I looked at the iPhone, but way too much money. So I ended up with a Samsung Blackjack. My previous phone was a Windows smartphone as well. So, you know, sticking with the smartphone works pretty well. And in preparation for this week, I knew that since Ryan had moved into a new house, we would not have internet access where we were recording. And since we rely on that generally to look up our stories right before we start, I was sitting in a coffee shop and just trying to figure out, how can I get, I know I've got a data connection on my phone, how can I use that? And there are ways to do it with, you know, just using the cable, but I don't want to carry that cable around with me everywhere. Right. I know the phone's got Bluetooth. My Mac's got Bluetooth. There's got to be a way. So I started digging around and looked up some things, and it turns out buried in the Windows folder on your Samsung Blackjack, and this should work with most smartphones that are Windows Mobile 5 or higher.
Right.
There's a program called Internet Sharing, and this is exactly what it's designed for. They bury it because the mobile phone companies do not want you using your data connection over from your phone on your laptop. They want you to buy their special card. So all you have to do is open up this internet sharing application, select Bluetooth as the sharing part, and then there's a section where you have to choose the network, and MediaNet is what you choose for singular. And then on the Mac side of things, you just connect to the personal area network for your phone, and boom, you're right there. You've got browsing the web, and if you're in a 3G zone, it's pretty darn nice. I have to say, I was very pleased, and I mean, we were using it just now, looking up stuff. We, you know, quickly pulled up that My First Mac website, and so it's really handy to be able to use that kind of expensive data plan for more than just browsing the web on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing is then you can use internet connection sharing on Windows or on the Mac. You can share your internet connection as well over your Wi-Fi card and share that connection with anybody else who happens to be nearby. So very fun way to take advantage of some of the things that people don't want you to take advantage of.
So you don't need to be at the coffee shop to get online.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what I was thinking. So very cool. We'll have a link in the show notes to where I found that article. And so go check that out. Well, that is going to wrap up this week's show. A little bit of a short show, but not much going on this week, and we both have been very busy. Ryan moving into his house, and me recovering from being Mr. Sicky Face.
I think he had dengue fever or something.
I don't know. It was pretty bad. But either way, plus not having the internet, except for via phone, has been difficult.
I'm sad. Please send me... Please grab random things off the internet and put it on a thumb drive and just ship me the thumb drive.
That's right. Overnight it to Ryan so he can make it through the next 6 days until he recovers.
That's right.
The tubes. Well, thanks for listening, and I want to thank Stuart again for the great user-submitted comments. We really appreciate those, and anybody else who wants to send those in, we would love to hear them. Email feedback@angryadmins.com is the place to send those. Check out our website, angryadmins.com, for links to any of the stories we talked about today. And thanks again for listening. So until next time, my name is Joe Bibby.
And until next time, my name is Ryan Necessary.
Stay angry!